The battle of life does not reach some kind of happy hunting ground when you grow old. In fact, those who have grown older can testify that the battle to follow God and to be conformed to Jesus Christ only intensifies as old age approaches. The devil works to convince those who are young that those who are older don't have nearly the problems with sin that the young confront. He even gets the young to believe that those who are older are hopelessly out of touch with the problems of youth, and that they can't even remember what it was like to be young. And on the other side of this generational divide, the devil tries to emphasize that there is this division, and he tries to convince those who have grown older that the young don't really care about them anymore. That the young probably wish that those who have grown older would hurry up and die. And in the famous line from Charles Dickens, decrease the surplus population. Of course, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so nothing he suggests can be trusted even for a moment. But our text teaches us today that old age is just as perilous spiritually as youth, and perhaps more so. History is littered with good beginnings and good intentions. There have been many people who compiled an enviable record in their younger days. Some of them seem to be clear thinking and able to stay the course. They may even have achieved a certain kind of prominence to which others look for inspiration. I can think today of any number of people with whom I attended college who rose to prominence in the student body. They were supposed to be spiritual leaders. And it was presumed that each one of them would go on to achieve great things, not only in the profession that each had chosen, but spiritually, in the household of faith. But over the years, I have heard of some of those who have not gone on with the Lord. When they grew older, they began to cultivate alliances with the world. And they departed from the right ways of the Lord. And some of them, I am sad to tell you today, have made complete and total shipwreck of their lives. The Apostle Paul wrote of his concern that he had, that when he had preached to others, he would prove himself to be a castaway. He feared that. He also wrote that he wanted to finish his course with joy. He did not want to be counted as yet another who began well and ended poorly. How many people have come to the Phoenix area for their golden years, their retirement years, who have, wherever they lived before, maintained a good testimony in the church, but who, having come to Phoenix, have basically retired from God and given themselves to the pursuit of their own pleasures. They have done their part for God, they seem to think, and now it's time for them to enjoy all that they denied themselves earlier. It is a powerful enticement the devil uses. And that is what makes those who have continued walking with the Lord in their older years so attractive. They are continuing in the language of Paul to the Philippians to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They are like those of whom we read in the 92nd Psalm that are planted like trees in the house of God. They shall bring forth fruit even in old age. They are not content with going so far and then bailing out. They are going all the way to the end with the Savior. It's sad that King Solomon surrendered to the sins of old age. That in the language of this passage, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It is almost too amazing for us to comprehend it. How could it have happened? How could the wisest man in the world, who had achieved over his life such a testimony of spirituality and faithfulness to the Lord, how could he, of all people, turn aside to worship other gods? How could he lead his family and his nation into the practice of idolatry? Well, the answer is that old age carries its own subtle motivations along with it. Those who are older often consider themselves to have earned the right to do certain things. They believe sometimes that there is a kind of entitlement attached to having lived a certain amount of years in the world. And that feeling becomes the fertile ground in which the devil then moves to plant the seeds of defiance of the Word of the living God. Some people argue by doing the things that they do, they're simply balancing the scales from their younger years, and that these actions are only to be expected. But it is clear that the Lord did not condone what Solomon did, and that he does not condone such actions in the life of anyone. Today, our text turns our attention to this phase of life, to which all will come at some point. In this text, we find underlined what I call the rage of age. Old age is the domain of those who have lived for a while in this world. And it is the subject of those who are heading in that direction. You see, the world likes to think of age as those who are old and those who are young, but the Bible treats of it as those who are old and those who are going soon to be old. The young wonder what it will be like to grow old, and the old try to remember what it was like to be young. The English poet Robert Browning wrote of the last of life for which the first was made. That is, there's so much that people want to do and can do when they get to be old, but they don't have the energy that they had when they were young to do it. And so some who have grown old have commented that it is a shame that youth is wasted on the young, for they don't know what to do with it. The sad thing is that as people grow older, the tendencies that they have displayed in their youth become more and more pronounced. Those who have been self-centered and unhappy in their youth tend, as they get older, to become more and more embittered and frustrated. They become more and more difficult to tolerate. And often they drift then into their own isolated experience, from which they rage, as a Welsh poet put it, against the dying of the light. But the truth is that such an approach to age is not inevitable. It does not have to come about that those who grow old become embittered. There are those who reach old age who are pleasant. They are still interested in all that is taking place around them. The testimony of aged saints in particular has always been a source of encouragement to me. To see those who have grown old with the Lord and who have continued to walk with the Lord in their latter years. To see a believer in Christ at peace in old age is to witness a triumph of the grace of God and of the power of redemption. It ought to be cause for us to sing. There is a way to grow old then without rage. And Solomon, rather unwittingly, pointed toward that way. Solomon, you see, forgot the wisdom to which he gave voice when he was younger. He forgot that as he had already observed, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be guarded against the rage of age? Then fear the Lord now. There are some who think that they will settle down and become more religious when they get older. The devil wants them to think that way. But the truth is, when they do get older, they find the attitudes of their youth hardening. And they find themselves made like flint when it comes to any message of the gospel. Nothing like speaking to a person in old age who has throughout his life or her life refused to receive the gospel. It behooves those who are young then to follow Christ without delay. And it behooves those who have been following Christ to remember what is for them the source of true happiness. Now there are four statements to be made from our text concerning the rage of age. First of all, temptation's power is undiminished. Here is the cruelest trick the devil perpetrates on sinners. He gets them to believe that when they get older, they will find the temptations that they have faced in their youth, the temptations of the flesh, will be less pronounced and easier to resist than they are when they have faced them in their youth. That's what the devil gets people to think. Well, you're having trouble now, but in a few years, when you get older, well, these things will lose all their appeal. That's a lie. But on the basis of that lie, there are people who give way to those temptations in their youth with the idea they'll be able to fight them off when they get older. But look at what the text tells us. When was it that Solomon turned away and went after other gods? It was when he was old. Now, I have no doubt that that temptation had been before him when he was younger. No doubt the daughter of Pharaoh, of whom we read at the beginning of this chapter, whom he had married some years before, the daughter of Pharaoh would have tried to get Solomon to be sympathetic toward the Egyptian worship of all their false gods. But there is no indication that he actually worshipped any of those false gods until he was old. The devil gets people to think that when they get old, the temptations will somehow lose their allure, that they just won't have the same punch. Let us observe the solemn example of King Asa. Let us turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles 16. And look at verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for notice this, he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Now throughout his reign, and he reigned for 41 years in Jerusalem, throughout his reign, up until the last 2 years of his life, he was known as a good and godly king. And he did much to advance the cause of God in the kingdom. But now at the end of his life, he surrenders to the rage of age. He becomes angry when a prophet comes to rebuke him for not following the Lord, for not trusting in the Lord. So it was when Asa became old that the temptations to pride and arrogance assumed such a powerful character. They did not diminish. The devil does not lose his ability to entice people when they get older. He may entice them in a different way, but it is in just as powerful a way. And the temptation, listen, to pride especially, increases as people get older. The power of the inducements that the devil uses remains the same. And that reality leads those who have grown older into a real problem. Because for those who have been following the Lord, as Solomon had been, many of them have been fighting against the power of that temptation all their lives. They have been learning throughout their lives what it is to resist the devil so that he will flee from them. But as they get older, the power of that temptation does not diminish. It remains the same. And then they face something sinister within themselves. That's the second thing I want you to notice here. The flesh's fatigue lowers resistance. Now, this will probably be a revelation to those who are young, but not to those who are older. When you get older, your body tends more and more to weariness. You find your energy flagging. You find you cannot do the same amount of work you could do when you were younger without getting very weary. And that fatigue of the flesh is a powerful weapon the devil uses in the spiritual warfare. You know what it is to be weary in the flesh. You know what it is not to be able to summon the energy to do a particular task. But in the realm of the soul, that weariness also grows as you get older. You have battled the temptation so many times that when you come to years and years of it, you begin to lose your resolve. And repeatedly, the Lord Jesus Christ And later his apostles warned their hearers about the danger that the weariness of the flesh could overwhelm the willingness of the Spirit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before the crucifixion, the Lord warned his disciples on this very issue. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what was the Lord saying there? He's saying the weakness of the flesh is a danger to the willingness of the Spirit. The weakness and weariness of the flesh may lead you simply to abandon the spiritual warfare. And I submit to you, that is what happened in Solomon's case. The apostles took up that theme, and Paul in particular. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let us look at verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. He's saying, watch. Why? You're in a warfare. You're in a battle. Put on the armor. Be vigilant. The Spirit is willing in this warfare, but the flesh is weak. And it's the flesh's fatigue that lowers resistance in the realm of the soul. Consider how true it is when the flesh becomes worn down with the trials of this life. When you get older, you lose your willingness to resist as you did when you were younger. Before, when you were younger, you may have always been able to hold your tongue. But you may find in your old age that words flow readily from that same tongue, that the inhibitions of youth are fading away in the face of the weariness of the flesh. And that's what opens you to the power of the temptation. The Apostle Paul warned the Galatians against the insidious nature of this fatigue. And let's look at that warning in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now you could apply that right across the spectrum of Christian experience. You pray for something for a long time. You pray for God's intervention in the work of the church. And you pray for that again and again and again, over and over again. And what happens after a while? The devil suggests to you, you've given enough energy to this, your energy's running out, you need to use it for other things. Paul was saying to the Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing. The weakness of the flesh, he said, is that which is a threat to the work of God in the soul. In Solomon's case, he grew weary in well-doing. It was when he was old, that he forsook the legacy of his youth. And he came then to the facet of his old age that tended to counteract everything else he had done. That's the third thing that we see. Sin breaks forth in fury. It was not just a little thing that King Solomon did in his old age. It was not just a little thing. It was not just a word that he said. No, he turned his heart, we see in verse 4, or had his heart turned for him to worship other gods. And the gods are listed here. These are the pagan deities of that part of the world. It's almost more than we can absorb to think of Solomon now bowing down before the images of false gods. And yet here is the true force of sin's eruption. And here is the impact of it. In old age, it tends to sweep all the good that went before it into the trash can. And I dare say that you, when you think of Solomon, always find whatever you think of him colored by that which happened when he was old. Now, I think if you considered that, you'd have to admit that that was so. I suspect that is why there haven't been any biographies written about Solomon, because people can't get away from that. When he was old? What happened when he was old? What about the end of his life? The scriptures even say here that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And notice the language of verse 6. He went not, here's the tragedy. He went not fully after the Lord. What marked Caleb and Joshua and their testimony in the time of the Exodus? What marked them was that they wholly followed the Lord. And here we find that Solomon did not fully follow the Lord while his heart was being turned away. He did not in his old age go fully after the Lord as his father had done. And of course, King Solomon is not alone in this eruption of sin in his old age. There are others, are there not, who have cast aside a whole lifetime of faithful Christian testimony to have a fling or two that they believe they have earned in their old age. And people say about them, whatever happened? What happened? We don't understand it. And even when this weariness does not beget that kind of gross idolatry and immorality, it often breeds one of the chief sins of those who are old, and that is bitterness. The scriptures warn against bitterness. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let us observe well the warning about bitterness. Bitterness is a manifestation of the pride of the heart. And that bitterness usually springs from the frustration of some desire, and from the equal sensation that this frustration has been unjustly imposed upon you. There are people who are bitter, who think they deserve better from life than they have received. And that was the case with Esau, was it not? He thought he was the firstborn. He thought he deserved to have the blessing that should come to the firstborn. But we read here that he was one in whom there was a root of bitterness. And it led him to be profane. It led him to despise that which he should have valued. Here's the tragedy. The tragedy that comes to some in old age. Their world shrinks down to themselves. And all they can think about is all the injustice that they have experienced. And that erupts into fury. It erupts into rage. In Solomon's case, it led him to turn his heart from the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? Solomon, of all people, had every incentive to keep on going with the Lord. Did he not? Solomon had no reason to feel that he had been deprived of anything. God had blessed him with wealth. He had blessed him with fame and with power. There was nothing that was lacking. And that just goes to show the power of sin, the power of temptation. I would like us to come at the end to consider, fourthly, peace's remedy falls from heaven's king. So what's the answer? How do you grow old, as they say, gracefully? How do you live in contentment in your latter years? How do you avoid the bitterness and the fury that sometimes erupts at the end of life? Well, there are three parts, I believe, to this answer. And there may be other things we could say as well, but I would just suggest these three things today. First of all, establish a pattern of trusting God when you are young. That is the single best way to erect a barrier against the disaster of bitterness and frustration in old age. Now, Solomon himself learned the lesson, though he did not apply it at this juncture in his life, but he wrote about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. And I believe that here was Solomon's reflection near the end of his life on all that he had seen and experienced. And as it were, he comes back at the end of his life. In the wake of this great sin, he comes back to the truths that informed him from his early days. Notice verse chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Before you get to old age, before you get to the time when the strength of the body is declining, when the body is proceeding as we find in verse 3 toward dissolution, when the physical powers are going away, before you get to that point, in other words, this is against the way the devil would have you to think, before you get to that point, while you're young, come to the Lord. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Foster a relationship with the Lord while you're young. And develop that relationship. And then, when you come to the time when you are weakened and wearied by the advance of age, you may use that relationship, as we find in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 29, speaking of the Creator, whom Solomon exhorts that we should remember, He giveth power to the faint. Here's the power, here's the remedy. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, for Solomon, when he came to this point in his life, to wait upon the Lord, he would have seen his strength renewed. Establish a pattern of trusting God when you are young. Rely upon the Lord while you are young. And if you are not so young anymore, don't say, well, since I'm not young, I can't really get to that now. If you're not so young anymore, establish that pattern from this day forward. I will depend upon the Lord. Secondly, hide the Word of God in your heart. Now, that has to do with not only memorizing words, but you know, there are a lot of programs that teach people to memorize the Bible that really do very little in terms of causing people to apply what they have memorized. Yes, memorize the Bible. But remember that there are people, and I could tell you some, who have memorized the whole Bible from cover to cover, and they have been disobedient to that which is in the Bible. So it is not simply a matter of memorizing the words. It is a matter of hiding the words in your heart, so that those words begin to dominate the life of your soul. So that they dominate how you think about everything. Solomon talked about the value of every word of God. So then hide the Word of God in your heart while you are young. And we may say, thirdly, love the Son of God with all your being. Here ultimately is the remedy to the rage of age. Those who have given themselves to be the Lord's and to love Christ, there is something about them as they get older that, in spite of the weakness of the physical frame, is engaging. Because for them, Christ becomes everything. They want to live in His presence. They want to hear His voice. They want to know His truth. And they can never get to the point where they've heard enough, or where they've sensed enough, or been satisfied enough. They want more of Him. And they can say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love of Christ is that which constrains them. They're not thinking of themselves. They're thinking of Him, and of His glory, and of His kingdom. The example of Solomon teaches us that there is a danger in growing old. there is a danger. But happily, there is a way to meet that danger and guard against it. And that is now. Now, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Engage yourself to be His. So that when you come to the time when, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, the teeth are falling out, when the vision of the eyes is fading, when the hearing is going, when everything about the body is declining, at that time, still in your soul, you will be bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. You will be glorifying the Lord. The rage of age befell Solomon. Let it not befall you. This day, engage yourself to be the Lord's, so that throughout your days, you may know what it is to rejoice in His company, and to always be found following after Him.